All right, let's get her going. Real Kipper and Bourne show as we transition out of on-ice hockey to off-ice. Yes. And it's going to be something here. So hold your breath.
Let's go.
I know. That,
for the next week or so.
Elliot said he thinks it could be, a bonkers, wild season, whatever.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Elliot hasn't slept in a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
And also his perception of wild and bonkers, maybe not the same as, I don't know,
his appearance, based on his appearance.
Listen, he did the pink suit for game 7. It was brought up today. Someone asked me about it today, and I said he likes to rock some colors. That's all.
I nicknamed in the playoffs David Amber and Elliot Crockett and Tubbs.
Who are they?
Oh, my God. You guys are so young.
it's Miami Vice?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Never watched one episode.
Very.
DA catching a stray there to me. I don't know.
Elliot tried to go.
DA looked fine.
Elliot tried to go Don Johnson on us.
Yeah. I see that. It's, got the Miami connection. Miami. I like the idea.
For sure. Well, wherever you are watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, watching on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. Get ready for still the fastest hour in hockey on our show. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. As we try to cram in as much as we can through, correct me if I'm wrong, awards show tonight.
Draft. Honest to God, is there the
Friday
awards show tonight?
I think the awards is Thursday and
okay.
The draft Friday.
I don't know.
NBA drafts tonight. You're very in the lead here. Bourne got a hole in one today. Congratulations, Bourne.
I did.
Congratulations, Justin. No, who cares about the award show?
I will get to that.
One.
So great job preparing for our show today.
Yes, I was
by
putting...
golfing. What hole?
Number 11, Scarborough Golf and Country Club.
Yardage?
It was 112. It's a short three. Short three, treacherous off the greens.
But he hands like a surgeon at 100, a little over 100.
It has been, I had one when I was 12, so it's been 29 years. So I'm very excited today.
Wow. One bounce? Did it fly?
You know, it sounds like I'm making this up, but I did bring it back over the pin.
Wow.
Brought it back about 15 feet.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
Well,
Sammy, you got one?
No, I don't got one. I'll never get one.
What do you
I've never even been close, really. Like, I've hit one to a couple feet.
You're a great iron player.
But I've never hit one to a couple feet. Like, I've never even been close. You have one, Kippy?
I've got two.
What?
Ooh. Yeah, I got two. Oh. My first one was at Magna.
Nice.
Okay. With Eric Lindros and Rob DeMaio.
In the group.
You would have thought I scored double overtime. The Big E and Rob were like, hugging.
That cost you some money
and
in the clubhouse or what?
And Eric comes right down on my big toe. And it was bruised beyond belief.
He's a light guy. That wouldn't hurt that bad.
Oh, no. He was the very Big E at that time.
And what's the other one?
Muskoka Lakes.
Okay.
With friends of mine, Alan, Cameron,
Could
and
you
Havlin.
See them go in, both of them?
Yeah, the one at Muskoka Lakes was actually better because it was 182, and it sits on a, the tee box sits up high.
Oh, yeah, elevated.
Looking down.
That's cool. Yeah.
That was another one that felt like double overtime.
Yeah, my one when I was 12 years old, I couldn't see go in, so I didn't even know until we got out there. So this one was like felt like the first one.
Well,
so.
Now I'm got it this summer. I don't get to play much golf, so maybe I'll get a chance to get a one at some point this
You'll
year.
You'll see 100 par threes this summer.
All right. Well, we're glad everybody's watching and listening. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Outside of today, we're going to have Frank Cervelli join us in a few minutes to get all the scoops coming out of Vegas. Mm-hmm. Monday, we're going to be looking at free agency. We're going to go how many hours? 12, 14?
We are on from 12 Eastern to 3 Eastern. 3 full hours of Real Kipper and Bourne.
Jam-packed. You'll be in transition as well, but you will join us.
Yep. I'll be in Kelowna, BC with the fam, but I will be some Zooming in, Skyping in. I don't know.
Looking
Using
forward
technology.
To it. Looking
yeah,
forward
it's gonna
to
be good.
It. So before we get to Frank, just quickly your thoughts on some of the visuals that we've seen out of Florida in terms of the celebrations. I mean,
you're baiting, Sam.
You're
you
trying to get me going here.
I'm not. I'm just
I was
asking
a good boy
you.
Yesterday, and I was going to be a good boy today. I wasn't going to break
please,
it up.
Please, do not.
It's absurd.
What
they wouldn't
absurd?
Even let the guys cross the road with the cup. They're just, They're traffic. There's like nobody on the street.
They're
holding Lord Stanley's cup. And they won't even stop to let the guys cross the damn street.
But they won't even stop to look at it.
One guy, they're like, oh, they're honking. One guy was like, get out of the way with that cup, honk.
So just a quick story before we get to Frank.
Oh, my God.
I did have the cup on Fifth Avenue in New York.
Wow. And
in a cab. And I purposely just asked the cab to let me out with the cup. And I sat it on the curb.
And were you with anyone?
I think I was with Brian Noonan.
Yeah.
And we're going to this... Like, what was it called?
Strip club.
No, it wasn't a strip club.
Oh.
Anyways, we just said, what would happen if we just stopped and just hung out on the curb? And it was like, it stopped traffic on the Fifth Avenue. Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Well, it didn't stop it on the old beach drive there.
A1A.
Anyways, get to Frank. I don't want to talk about this. I'm just going to get in trouble with another fan base.
All right. No one is busier than those insiders. And we got Frank Saravelli, Hockey Insider, president of Hockey Content Daily.
Ooh,
Faceoff, joining us.
Wow.
From lovely Vegas. Rolling the dice, baby. Frank, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. I got to tell you, 113 degrees Fahrenheit today. I just wasn't built for this.
No. But I will tell you, your hair is built for it.
Pristine.
Not one out of place, buddy.
I mean, it's all I got, so I better take care.
Okay, so just paint us a visual here on, you've done a number of these coming off a Stanley Cup final. Does this one feel different? Is there talk of it being different? Will it live up to it? Will it not live up to it? What's your vibe going into the next few days?
Well, I think the draft specifically is going to be particularly chaotic. I mean, just talking to a number of teams this morning that are inside the top 10, they're all fishing for information. What do you know? Who's going to go 2? Who's going to go 3? And they're all trying to jockey for position, really, to see what happens after that. I don't think it's a stretch this year, despite what the public favorites are, despite what everyone thinks is going to happen, that this, you know, really could be the most topsy-turvy top 10 that we've had in a long time, because everyone kind of views this board a little bit differently. So that's one part of the week. The trades, the buyouts, the qualifying offers, that's all a totally different part of it. And also interrelated. So oddly enough, I mean, famous last words, something might happen while I'm talking to you guys, but in talking to a bunch of teams this morning, they were kind of remarking about how quiet it is at this exact period in time as everyone's already kind of gotten to Vegas and settled in.
Hmm. Yeah, we're fascinated like everyone else, waiting to see what happens. Just get to the big fish conversation here. Being in Toronto, Mitch Marner is a name that... rumored to maybe be possibly maybe, you know what I mean? What's are you hearing anything on the Mitch Marner front?
Listen, he started, he's Frank, you've been really solid on this in terms of your belief and where the Marner story's heading. Has anything changed? Can you elaborate on your feelings on Marner?
Yeah, it's not even so much my feelings. It's just good old school reporting.
Yeah.
I truly believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs will do everything in their power over the next, it's not even just a week. This is another aside in talking to a bunch of teams, whether it's Trevor Zegras, whether it's the goalie front, there's a lot of things that may wait well past free agency opening on July 1 to happen. And the Marner situation could certainly be part of that as well, but I firmly believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to do everything in their power to make something happen and move him. Now, whether he decides to play ball with that, whether there is a team that steps up and is actually willing to pay the price that they deem appropriate for one of the top 15 players in the world, those are two different discussions, but are the Toronto Maple Leafs open to it? Are they looking to try and make it happen? Is this how they're going to try and manage the asset? I believe the answer to all three of those questions is yes.
And how aggressive will Tree Living be in terms of pushing Marner?
Well, I think there's a bunch of different puzzle pieces that he's trying to move around the board, right? It's not just Mitch Marner in a vacuum. It's how do we improve and upgrade our defense corps? What are we doing with our goaltending situation? And obviously Joe Wall's likely to be part of it for the long haul, but who's going to play in tandem with him this upcoming season. If we trade Mitch Marner, what does the rest of our forward core look like? Who could we get our hands on either in trade or free agency? So it's not just one thing that's off to the side. What you do with that one part of it has everything to do with how you build the rest of your team, mm-hmm. which is why this is not really a simple transaction, to say nothing of the fact that Mitch Marner holds all of the cards here.
So in terms of teams interested and potential return, this is, I guess, what you're talking about, where the top 10, there's the potential for big trades, right? You know, first round picks moving. What is out there on the other side of things for the Leafs for a guy who would need to sign a pretty big deal, you would think, if he were to accept a trade?
It's hard to say, right? Yeah. Like, I can think of a whole list of 6, 8, 10 teams where Mitch Marner would make sense, where they should have a ton of interest. And part of it is looking at their situation right now. Mm-hmm. And part of it is also trying to think 4 steps down the line. I'll give you a great example, and not to say that this is certainly something that's going to happen, but let's look at the Florida Panthers situation. Those guys are celebrating and hoisting the Stanley Cup. And I heard what you're talking about, dragging it into the Atlantic Ocean, but their management team is on the way out to Vegas here, to take part in the draft, and they're not focused on the draft, but their big focus this week is Sam Reinhart. So Sam Reinhart scores the game-winning goal in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Is he a guy that they're going to step up and pay? Because they've been in talks with him for months. Now, does winning the Cup make it easier to potentially say goodbye and have him walk in free agency? Are you willing to pony up the money? And let's say you don't. Let's say you say, you know what, we're going to let Sam Reinhart walk. We don't want to pay him more than Alexander Barkov, or pick whoever it is on your cap table that you want to draw the hard line on. Do you then potentially pivot and do something different and say, hey, Toronto, I'd be interested in getting my hands on a Mitch Marner? I think that's just one hypothetical to give you an example of there's like 6 dominoes here that are potential to fall in order to try and make something like that happen, that we still don't really have a solid view of what the entire board looks like at this moment in time.
We're talking to Frank Saravelli, Hockey Insider, president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff. Just in terms of where agents go and whether it's Marner or Reinhart, how much will play into state tax, cost of living? Does it 8.5 make it a lot of sense for Reinhart to stay in Florida compared to maybe 10 in Toronto? Like, is there a lot of talk going on about checks and balances in that avenue?
Kipper, I know it's a big talking point. I know that people spend a lot of time focusing on it, and I'm not saying that it's not a real thing. Of course it is, when you ultimately get to what the net amount of money is that's going in your pocket. But if it were really that simple, and if you were really to take a look at it and say, hey, Sam Reinhart, we'll give you in Florida 8 years times $9.5 million. By the way, I think that's already been on the table and it's been there for months. He hasn't signed it, and he's looking for north of that, is my understanding, even though the equivalent of that in Toronto or somewhere else would actually be north of $12 million a year. It's just not that simple. So I do think it matters. I also think at the same time, in some ways, part of it's overblown. I think when you get to talking, and both of you guys will understand when I say this, when you get to talking about fit and overall dollars, and I think, in fact, a great example of this is Philip Peronik, who signed that big $58 million deal in Vancouver last week. One of the big things is you get into that sphere of money and you're talking about that much, a little bit here or there isn't going to really change your life. And it's easy for us kind of mere mortals to say that, because, you know, if someone said, hey, will you leave $2 million on the table? I mean, that's life-changing money for sure. But when you get paid that much, I tend to think that guys probably don't want to mess with happy. And especially if you're a guy like Sam Reinhart and you have a chance to go to a third straight Stanley Cup final next year, maybe that's a differentiator. Or maybe you look at it and you say, I already won here. We might win again and that'd be great, but I'm going to take the extra $5 million or $6 million somewhere else, because that means something to me. Everyone's in a different spot.
For sure. So what heading into the draft, what picks could you see being available? What teams might be willing to move off of picks given, you know, the value of a first round pick, but at the same time, some teams want to get better now.
Yeah, so I think in this draft in particular, I'll give you a few just right off the hop. You've got Columbus at 4. You've got Ottawa at 7. I think there's a couple other teams flirting in the 9, 10, 11 range that would consider. But it all depends on what the board looks like. Like, let's put yourself in Columbus's spot. And this is a pure hypothetical. But let's say the draft board comes out and it is Celebrini 1, Levshunov 2, and then someone else because Pat Verbeek does whatever Pat Verbeek does in Anaheim. And you're Columbus and you're saying, hey, well, we were thinking about moving off of this pick, but we might get a potential superstar in Demidov. We're going to keep it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot in flux right now. And that's sort of some of the chatter that we're hearing out here in Vegas to start and kick off draft week is that almost everything's on the table. And those teams that are further down at 9 or 10 or 11 and are trying to potentially move up, they want to see how the board breaks too, because they may want to try and get their hands on someone like Demidov. They may see more value in him than another player. So there's also a bunch of teams, Justin, in the late first round that I think have accumulated extra picks by moving off of players on their roster and are now closer to win now mode, meaning, hey, it's time to giddy up and compete. I look at the Buffalo Sabres, I look at the Ottawa Senators, I look at, you know, potentially another team, the Detroit Red Wings. I think they're going to be incredibly active. They're in on the goalie front and John Gibson. They're looking to improve their defense core. These are all teams that have assets that it's go time. Sitting back and waiting and say, hey, we're going to be patient and allow this to continue to develop as you reach years 5, 6, and 7 and you begin to think about, do we need to rebuild the rebuild? That becomes incredibly problematic for general managers and owners.
You mentioned the goalie front. A lot was sorted out with Markstrom and Allmark in Ottawa, and you just mentioned Gibson. How much of a demand is out there for him, and what would a team like Detroit be willing to either give up or commit to him?
I'm told the goalie market as a whole is, for the most part, pretty quiet, but there's definitely some smoke, and I would even argue potentially some fire with the idea of the Ducks and Red Wings getting together on that Gibson deal. What are they willing to give up? I'm not certain. The Ducks had been asking for the last number of years a pretty high price because they feel he's one of the top goalies in the league. And as the goalie market has kind of readjusted a little bit and the cap's gone up, that cap hit isn't so onerous. The term has obviously gone down over the last few years to make it more palatable. And I think in the end, it's no secret here. I reported this last summer and summers beyond. John Gibson is open to a change of scenery. So a lot of things are aligning. But I talked to another team this morning who's trying to move a goalie. And they said, right now, with some of the free agents that are pending, Lauren Brossoit is going to be a big one, that they're sitting back saying, there's only maybe 2, 3, 4 teams at the most that are looking for goalies. I don't know that we really need to go crazy and trade for a guy when we might be able to get the same out of someone that we get out of free agency, and it might even cost us less.
3 more years left on Gibson's contract at 6.4, so you assume that Anaheim would have to eat a little bit of that. I wonder where that leaves Ville Husso.
Yeah. Ville Husso, what about Sebastian Kosa, who's a big part of the Red Wings' future, former Edmonton Oil King? What about Alex Lyon? I mean, there's a lot going on in Detroit this week as you see Steve Yzerman begin to move money around, trading that Jake Walman deal that actually really surprised a few GMs, saying, hey, I don't know that it would have cost a second-round pick if you had moved Walman to me.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of stuff to still get to. It's a busy week. What are you hearing about the Winnipeg Jets and the name that you wouldn't want to say with a peanut butter sandwich in your mouth, Rick McGroarty? What's going on there? What could they get back for him?
Highly sought after player, had a tremendous year at Michigan, felt that he really wanted and needed to stay another year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that made the Jets all that comfortable. And I also think the fact that one of Rutger McGroarty's closest friends is Cutter Gauthier, I think that makes people a lot, or I should say plenty nervous. given the way that Cutter Gauthier extracted himself from the Flyers, and certainly something to keep in mind. He's with his prospect status at this point, they're going to be looking for commensurate value in return, considering what they think he is and is trending to be. Like, you're talking first round pick plus, and a good first round pick at that, in order for the Jets to consider moving him. And it's a tough spot for Winnipeg. They go out and draft him. They get a player they really like. They tried hard to convince him to turn pro and become a Winnipeg Jet. That hasn't happened to this point, and now they might have to pivot and go in a different direction.
I'm sorry. Like, for Winnipeg Jets fans out there, Frank, what exactly happened? They want to trade him. He wants to be traded. What happened here? Why wouldn't they just sign him eventually and get him in their lineup or put him in the minors?
Well, I think part of it is the fact that when you step back on campus for your junior year and you finish that season, that at the other end of it, you're only one more year away from total unrestricted free agency and you can call your shot. But it hasn't been made exactly clear. Has he signaled to the Jets that he doesn't want to play in Winnipeg, or is this the Jets trying to be proactive and
good act question.
On
no, I get the sense that something happened between the two, and either he wants to no longer be a Winnipeg Jet, or, you know, to your point, maybe Winnipeg seeing what's out there for him. But my sense is that something happened, ticked him off. He wanted to be a Winnipeg Jet. He no longer wants to be a Winnipeg Jet. Was it because they didn't sign him right away, put him in the lineup right away?
They've been trying to sign him forever.
But
he hasn't signed and wants to continue.
But my understanding is he was also told that there wasn't any room for him in the lineup right now.
Jets were pretty damn deep this year. I think you'd be understanding, no?
Similar but different with Cutter Gauthier, right? He wanted to turn pro. The Flyers said, hey, look, it's not that we're against you turning pro. We're just a mess right now, and we're not going to drop you into this lineup just to do it. And that sent off a chain of events that has him as an Anaheim Duck now.
Mm-hmm. Which is happening. Maybe it's just happening a lot more with these NCAA guys. Obviously, it's not an issue with CHL players, but different rules, right? The ability to go back to school and not turn pro and then get one step closer to UFA maybe down the road.
That's a total personal aside, but that's why I see college hockey as, you know, adding to one of the premier ways to go about your pro hockey career. Is it's a great path and lots of options.
Some teams in the league a little ticked off they didn't draft Mishkov, who's coming now.
He's ready.
Over.
He's coming. What's going on?
Some teams kicking themselves?
I don't think so. I mean, part of it is they see the obvious talent. And let's be fair. There's still a couple truths to NHL scouting. Teams still scout with a tape measure as one. Not saying that's related to Mishkov, but we see smaller guys fall all the time in the draft. And teams, regardless of whether it's fair or not, still scout based on passport and nationality. The Russian factor has always been a thing in the NHL. It's, you know, really since the test of time. And they weren't sure what to think. Would they be able to get their hands on him? How long would it take? Kirill Kaprizov, and how long that took to get him over to the NHL. Think about it from the Minnesota Wild perspective. It was 7 years after they drafted him. They had three different general managers in that span. Do you really want to spend a top five, top seven overall pick on a player that you might not actually see come to fruition in the NHL? I get teams bypassing on him, but if you've got the faith and trust that you can make something happen as the Flyers did, and by the way, tremendous job by Danny Briere, I'm sure as a former CAA client himself, helping navigate the player to an agency that could get him extracted.
Mm-hmm. No, really well done. And that's a big get for them. A couple more and then we'll let you go here. Last one. Well, maybe not last one, but I just have so much to ask you.
So much.
So when did the Arizona Coyotes get sold to Wile E. Coyote? Like, what is this guy? Just, they keep getting hit by anvils, and what is, do they exist? Will they exist?
We saw Gary Bettman and Alex Morello at a press conference together, and now it's like, what happened, Frank?
I think this is an incredibly brilliant piece of business by the NHL. They were able to get what was the only true remaining problem franchise out of its city. Mm-hmm. They left open the possibility to return, and we know that they will ultimately, as indicated by the faith that they've shown in that market. And they really wanted to get away from that owner, but they couldn't really do it without saying it or by saying it, because he still owned the team and was really resistant to doing so. So they work out this convoluted transaction that I think ultimately in the league's heart of hearts, they knew that he wouldn't be able to pull off getting a building of that magnitude built in the proper area. And it was only really a matter of time. The fact that it happened to this point before the land auction itself wasn't scheduled to be conducted until tomorrow. The fact that they didn't even make it to that point, I just kind of laugh at the coverage that's existed since then, which is he's relinquishing control. Control of what? There's no team. They're gone. They play in Utah now. And I think for not just the betterment of the NHL, but also for the betterment of the future of hockey in Arizona, is that they say goodbye to this guy once and for all and never, ever look back.
A lot of fans in Arizona, but there was enough where you feel bad for some of the people that were very loyal.
Yes.
Okay. Loyal.
But I think they will have a team again. I think it's just, it ain't with this guy, right?
And they're better off. The players that go there will be better off eventually.
It's a great arena market. I really believe that.
Tell your boy that's going to buy Ottawa. Let's get working on it here.
Better off.
Yep. All right. Anything else for Frank?
Do we talk to Leon Draisaitl quick? Do we talk about that yet? What's going on? He gonna re-sign July 1st for 8 times 14?
I've always been of the belief that Leon Draisaitl is going to remain with the Oilers for the long term. I'm not even necessarily sold that it gets to 14. I think he's got some questions to get answered. I think the Oilers have some about their own puzzle that they're putting together. And whether it's on July 1st or beyond, I've never really had much doubt, but you never know.
All right.
All right. Plenty to look forward to July 1st. Frank, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on the show, sharing your insights.
Get that Yardo margarita to keep you cool on the streets out there.
I was just going to say, I'm just glad to be inside. So whatever, you guys can keep me however long you want.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, he's gone already.
There you go.
We sat a couple nights together at the blackjack table.
With Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Nice to play?
He's not that good at blackjack.
You get a card. There's a way to play. It's math.
There's nothing that's more intimidating to me than a blackjack table. As a guy who doesn't really know.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't want to be the guy that people are like, come on.
Like, you know, I got to split the M. Like, I'm not splitting anything. I'm splitting out of this table. I'm gone. Like,
you're giving me a splitting headache. That's what you're giving me at the table.
I've just been around my degenerate buddies enough when a guy's like, that's my card. That should have been my card. I'm like, I cannot be in that situation. Yeah. I don't know enough.
Yeah. And that number for Leon Draisaitl, north of 14.
North of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And boy, I'm not convinced it's... It needs to get done, like, this summer.
You talked about him and Connor sharing a number. Yeah. If he's going to take 14 of it, is Connor going to take 16? They're going to get 30?
That number's light for me.
Yeah.
Okay, that number should be between the two of them equaling 34.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you guys, this is some on-the-fly producing. I haven't told anyone other than Derek this, but I got a clip of him talking about his contract today at the media at their locker cleanout, we get sour about the first round locker cleanout day. I can't imagine losing in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final locker cleanout day, but do you want to hear him addressing his contract situation?
I don't see a Kipper's clip lineup.
It happened right now.
Producing.
I saw it on Twitter
and
I sent it to Derek and Derek recorded it for me and I didn't even tell poor Jake the snake, so he's not even ready.
I am so proud of you
now. It's first time for everything. All right, let's play it.
I don't have an answer to that for you. Obviously, I haven't had any time to really think about it. It wasn't on my mind. a lot lately. So it's just something that, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to figure out what I want, what, you know, what the Oilers want, what everyone wants. And then, yeah, go from there and figure something out.
And sorry, is it Edmonton first and then you'll view whatever happens down the road after that? Or is it open?
I mean, Edmonton has the only chance to sign me, so I guess they are first. Yeah, but yeah, we'll see again. I'll leave it at that. Obviously, I love being an Oiler more than anything. So yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Like the first part more than the second part.
So the only thing you didn't mention was, you know, everyone, what works for Connor too.
Yeah,
there's snowball's chance in hell he re-signs without knowing that 97 is staying.
Of course.
It's actually why Draisaitl probably doesn't re-sign until Connor's.
Why not just negotiate together?
So Connor can't re-sign until next July 1st.
That's right. And so, that's when he becomes a UFA, and it doesn't really matter.
Maybe Leon signs in, like, after next season, before July 1st, knowing Connor's going to re-sign.
After.
That's a dangerous game for the Oilers.
It's not dangerous because you heard him say. No. Listen, it's not dangerous because, number one, you know that he wants to be there. He just said it, and I believe him. So as long as Connor's on board, as long as we come to a number, then the Rangers aren't coming in. Mm-hmm. LA's not coming in. Toronto's not coming in. You got to have faith in the fact that this guy wants to be here, and if you hit his number, we're good.
Yeah, I agree with you. It feels like if Connor's staying,
there should be zero anxiety that you're leaving a window for him to leave.
It would be really fun if the reverse pipeline started opening up, like Draisaitl and McDavid started coming to Toronto after all the Oilers guys went to, the Leafs guys went to Edmonton. I'd really like that. Yeah. The reverse pipeline opening up would be great.
The problem comes with that, as you just witnessed with Nylander, is you got to put up with the crap, you know?
Yeah.
And the crap is rumors and social media coming out.
Why are you so pissy?
Right? And getting asked every practice. It's the number one question.
No, but Leon is the most direct individual in the NHL in interviews. And he would just say, stop asking me. I'm not doing this. I think Leon, more than anyone, could really handle it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, I got no problem with Leon. I'm just talking about all the other Yahoos out there.
Mm.
Yeah, we would all write our articles and whatever, and they wouldn't mean anything.
He's not signing July 1st, Monday. He's going to go on vacation like all the rest of them do.
He also is smart not to, Kip, because he'll get to see the cap go up. Like, we knew the cap figure when? February of this year. We knew what the next year's was going to be. Like, he'll get to see, okay, it's up to 95 next year or whatever it is, 93.5.
Yeah, and I do believe that they'll be together. They're going to make sure that they're together. They
happy together.
They work well together. They're buddies.
Oh, they're competitive. Right? They want to win. Yeah.
And maybe it's in their favor that there's still a carrot being dangled called the Stanley Cup they need to get.
Yeah.
This is a completely hypothetical situation, but do you think it's a different conversation we're having if they win that game 7 about him staying? I feel like it's just as likely he stays if they win.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, have you then accomplished your goal and you feel less committed to, like, I got you guys yours and now I can go
time to sample
live
something
somewhere
else?
Warm, yeah,
maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
I feel like that's how I would feel. Yeah. You're like, all right, drafted me, I'd like to live in Florida.
The bigger issue now is that in 2 years, like, Bouchard's going to want 10 plus. And if, do you keep Darnell Nurse at 9.25 or is it 9.5?
How do you?
What else do you do?
But you lose Nurse, you trade him.
Who's gonna take that? You gotta eat half the money.
Okay, for the record, every time I've heard you say it's who's gonna take that or it's untradeable, Pierre-Luc Dubois finds a way.
Did I say Did I ever say it was untradeable? Yeah.
I'm just saying that. What I'm saying is every time I hear someone say it's untradeable, there's somebody that can find like somebody to take something.
A team who's trying to turn the page and just get good. You want good players. You got cap space. You're Anaheim. You're Chicago. You're San Jose. Like, you'd be like, yeah.
Darnell Nurse had a good bounce. He had a good bounce back in the final, and like his plus minus went up.
Maybe
but
he's worth six. He's not worth two.
Isn't there a Sault Ste. Marie connection somewhere out there waiting for him?
Dubas. Dubas.
Loves him.
Okay. Dubas. When's Carlson's contract
Pittsburgh.
Up?
Pittsburgh.
Loves him.
Yeah, it's good call. Good call. It's a great call. Yeah.
I'm making the call that we need to go to break.
Oh, we should go to break. Oh, yeah, we got to go to break.
Oh, we're just starting to have some fun. All right, sorry, more fun after the break.
First
Sammy,
time we mentioned Dubas in a while.
Little game time after the break.
Yeah, we'll talk about some non-hockey stuff again.
Plus much more as we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We close out slowly the week that leads into the NHL Awards, NHL Draft, and then Monday we'll go 3 hours starting at noon Eastern.
Correct.
For free agency.
Game time?
Game time.
And if I said no?
No.
You'd still do it anyways.
You're right. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now I was checking out on Bet365 as you do before you do a betting segment. And I noticed that they have the futures up for next year's Stanley Cup.
Oh boy, already.
Didn't take long.
Don't even know the rosters yet.
Who is the favorite?
Florida.
Oilers.
Oilers are the favorite. 7-1.
Oh, really?
They are the favorites at 7-1. Who do you think the second favorite is?
Florida.
No.
Come on.
Toronto.
Yeah, well, Florida's tied for second favorite. There's three teams at 9-1. Dallas, Carolina, and Florida. And then it goes Colorado, New Jersey, 10-1. Rangers, 12-1. The Leafs are 15-1, tied with the Vancouver Canucks. 1 point ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Leafs will start 4-1 next year, and they'll jump right to the top.
Oh, yeah.
The Leafs don't start 4-1.
You're Sammy.
That never happens.
Yeah, and so I'm just quickly looking at the Atlantic Division winner.
Yeah.
The Panthers are the favorites at plus 180. Leafs second favorites plus 333. Boston plus 450. Tampa plus 600. Red Wings, Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, and Montreal Canadiens.
The Atlantic's gonna be good next year.
Bringing up the old rear there. And look at the Oilers. The Oilers, since they are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, they are also the favorite to win the Pacific Division next year, which I think is hilarious. This is all the most absurd things to look at right now.
Each team knows seven players who are going to be there.
Yeah, it's true. Like, the Leafs have how many people on their roster at the moment? But, yeah, so I thought that was funny.
A couple long-shot flyers.
And I just went to their specials, the NHL specials category, because sometimes they put up interesting things in here. One thing that they have up, which I find very interesting, Steven Stamkos' team on October 4th, 2024, I guess that's the first day of the season, the Lightning are the favorite at minus 400. The Detroit Red Wings at plus 800, Nashville at plus 800, and the next favorite, your Toronto Maple Leafs at 10-1. So there you go.
That doesn't even make sense.
No?
No.
Care to discuss? Leafs 10-1, worth a bet for Steven Stamkos' team to start the year next year? Canadian Tire guy going to take another shot?
Yeah, it just depends. Is Mitch here?
Yeah.
If not, someone's got to score some goals.
We're going to go back to maybe a Mitch conversation, but I don't see a world where he's not starting here. And there's no room for Stamkos.
Yep. So, anyways, thought I'd say bring that up.
Well, we're going to get into finish it up here.
I actually hit a bet yesterday. So I got a million tweets about Canada and first goal of Jonathan David.
David.
Buddy, thank you so much for everybody reaching out and telling me that I won one.
You're the guy.
Because I exclusively lost for 6 months. So I really appreciate you shouting out. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Is it the app for latest odds? And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So we just had Frank on, and Frank kind of gave his take on what he thinks with the Marner thing, and he kind of feels like it's, you know, that they're aggressive and trying to see what happens next. What are you hearing?
Frank's one of the best guys out there in terms of, you know, his information, but I can only tell you what I hear. And I don't get that same sense that they are aggressive at all in trying to figure out the Mitch Marner situation. I don't think there's a sense that there's a pressing need to do it. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that they're not open or welcome in discussions. But for this thing to really work, the Leafs cannot be the aggressors. You cannot negotiate from any strength if you are the aggressor. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I really want something that you have. That puts you at a tremendous advantage. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll welcome in conversations. And if they ever get to a point where they need to go back to Mitch Marner's agent or Mitch Marner's family or whatever, whoever makes the ultimate, or Mitch, then they've got something to talk about. But that isn't the case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other factor in, for especially Brad Treliving, there's a ton of pressure on him to make sure that the Leafs are amongst the top teams in the Atlantic. Like, where are you going to find another 100-point guy? Where are you going to find a guy that can kill penalties like he can? Like, you still need him until you replace him. Mm-hmm. So that you may need to have him to start October and November, get off to a good start. Craig Berube's made it abundantly clear to Maple Leaf management, I want to coach that guy. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have him for the whole season. But
really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Craig Berube loves him.
Bet as much as you can on Marner playing this season, full season for the Leafs.
Yeah.
If that's probably out there.
The other rumblings out there, and again, I have no basis on anything definitive, is that there is a little bit of a narrative, and we heard it, I think, first from Biznasty, if I'm not mistaken, that they want to re-sign him or they're in talks to re-sign him. Mm-hmm. I know nothing of that. But is there a theory out there that if you're the Leafs again, why wouldn't you try to explore an extension that may not hurt you and protect a 100-point asset at the same time? Mm-hmm. So is there something out there that he would entertain? Why wouldn't you look at Mitch Marner on a, say, 4-year deal at $11.5 or $12 million? Mm-hmm. What would you think of that, Sammy?
I don't know. I find this conversation really hard, because I've really never been more stuck in the middle of it. Like, I'm the worst guy to talk about this. I'm a fence sitter on this. I think he's really good, and I think it's terrifying to trade him. But I also think if you come back with all four of these guys and very similar, and the only difference is a couple new D-men and the coach, that the temperature around this team and the vitriol around this team is going to be really bad, and it's not necessarily a very good market for it.
So just
that's how I feel.
My point of
I see
all
both
of this,
sides,
and I'm playing from the Leaf angle here, is that I'm still open to looking and exploring everything with this guy instead of being stuck in my ways that he's got to go.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think you can be stuck in your ways that he has to go.
But I agree with that
perspective.
This is what it came down to after the last postseason, is did you decide enough is enough and I can't watch this anymore and we can't do it? Or, I'm just saying, if that's what someone has decided, then they need to act on that. If you're making a pragmatic decision, I feel two ways about this. If I, as a host of a radio show for the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto, I want them to trade him because it's entertainment, it's content, it's fun, it's something different, something new to talk about. For the love of God, don't argue with you for another year. If I were the general manager, I wouldn't trade him in a million years. I would give him your 4-year, 11.5 today.
And I'm not saying he'll take it.
Right.
Because personally, I wouldn't take it.
Right.
But doesn't he love playing with Matthews? Does he want to align his contract the same way that Dreisaitl and McDavid would want to align their contracts? Or maybe he doesn't like playing with Matthews. I don't know. I don't know the guys, but feels like they have a pretty good chemistry together and they're buds. I don't know.
Well, again, if you're the Leafs, then yeah, you may consider selling it that way, Sammy.
Yeah.
If I'm the GM, to your point about how do you get better when you trade him?
You don't.
It's just so hard to see.
You're not better. You're different.
You're that's what like, you're hoping for. Are your D that much better after? What else are you adding when you do it? There's so many what ifs to the scenario, but,
just look at the D core that just won the Stanley Cup, right? They had Bobrovsky.
Every year the best D core wins.
Well, no, but like, it's like all of that, Kulikov and Mikola, and these guys are good players. But it's
point.
Like,
I see your point.
I don't know. Is that going to be different? It just to me, winning the Stanley Cup is so damn hard, and all we talk about is trading all these guys. It's like. I have
Vlad,
no clue.
Forsling, Montour.
Very good.
You know, like,
very good.
Even, yeah. Your worst D is who?
I don't know. I guess Ekman-Larsson
or Mikkola.
Who was like, on their top power play unit in game seven?
Yeah. You know, like,
I don't know.
That's a pretty deep six.
I don't know.
Jeff Skinner.
He's available.
On the market.
Yeah.
July 1st.
I'm happy for Jeff. I want him to go play for a hockey team.
I want him to play for the Leafs.
No disrespect to Buffalo. I want him to make the playoffs.
I want him to play for the Leafs. I like Jeff Skinner.
Do?
I do. A little lower than $9 million, obviously, but I like Jeff Skinner. I think he's a good player.
I think there's going to be a number of takers for Jeff Skinner.
He scored 30 last year? When was the last time he scored 30?
To me, it's a little crazy for how bad that buyout is to get rid of him. Like, I know it's $9 million bucks, but you're going to be eating dead money here forever, aren't you? Like, does cap friendly still
years.
Exist?
But it's remarkable to see the names like that have left the Buffalo Sabres. And
oh, I know.
And now
one
Stanley Cup.
So last year, not this, not 23-24, but 22-23. He had 35 goals and 82 points. So this past season, he had 24 goals and 46 points. Pretty steep drop in total points there. But, you know, not that far removed from scoring 35, 33 the year before.
Screams Carolina to me.
Well, just because wasn't he there for 8 years? You probably just have that in your head.
Yeah, maybe, but just feels like a buy-low guy. Let's just go there and be good.
If they lose out on Jake Guentzel, Carolina, then I think it would be an easier...
Where's Guentzel going?
UFA's hilarious. Is Jake Guentzel, the 60th best player in the league?
And he's going to get
fall
so
over
much
themselves
money.
To get the
Guentzel, I think, is... I think it's between Vancouver and Carolina.
Hmm.
Is the sense that I'm getting, but there could be
Vancouver,
somebody
it's
else.
It's hard for them to make that work. You know, like, they don't have a ton of space, and they got some big contracts.
Yeah, but
God, he needs to be a good ad
Lindholm's
for them.
Lindholm's not coming back, and what was he?
So Lindholm's not coming back?
I don't get the sense that he is, and if you're going after Jake Guentzel, you got to use his money to get Guentzel.
Yeah.
Part of it.
I love Guentzel. As the kids say, he's a dog. Watch him in the playoffs. He was good for them. He was good for them in the playoffs. Got a nose to the net. I really like Guentzel a lot. Be good for Vancouver. They could get him. But
see, even the Leafs would have interest in Guentzel if they move Marner.
Yeah.
I think.
For sure.
With Matthews.
Yep. But, I mean, you're not better.
He might be playoff better. Guentzel's, his points per game go up.
He's really good in the playoffs, for sure. But anyways, I don't know.
So tomorrow, can we say that we have tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we have John Cooper tomorrow.
John Cooper. John Cooper has been named the head coach.
Scheduled to be joined by John Cooper tomorrow.
Yes, of Canada.
For season.
At the Four Nations face-off. Face-off.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
And the Olympics.
When is that again?
Next All-Star break.
Yeah.
Next All-Star break.
We can all watch it from Punta Cana.
We have to tell our bosses we're doing that. So.
Okay, Fabro,
we're not doing shows during that, are we?
We've decided that. No one knows that, though.
No. Golf trip, boys. Fabs, we will not be on golf trip for Real Kipper and Bourne.
Somebody out there text us the scores.
I'll watch.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, all right. I'm into it.
Okay.
First six players.
I can watch from somewhere else.
First six players being named at the end of the month. My six players are McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, Marchand, Makar, and Drew Doughty. My six.
Drew Doughty and Marchand in your top six.
Well, you got to do the veterans, and those guys have been Canadian stalwarts.
Can we just have a bit of a summer before we start thinking about that, please?
Buddy, we're going to talk about this. Oh, you guys will be on the golf course after our show's done. I won't be. I'll be here.
Our congratulations to Justin Bourne, who's hit his second hole in one today. That is the major story.
Congrats, brother.
In hockey today.
Guys.
Congrats.
Happy way to show today so we can celebrate it.
Our thanks to Frank Saravelli out of Vegas. All right. Enjoy your night. We're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.